Well, I want to do a history quiz right now, and someone's going to have to tell me who is first in answering this because I don't think I've got the skills to work
Wait,
it out.
you have to go full screen first. You're currently there we go. So now you're not showing us answers.
Okay, that's all right. Too much. All right, we're going to do this day in history. All right, you ready? And if you want to respond by the chat on the bottom of your screen, do it, and someone will tell me who is first, and you'll win a prize. I don't know what the prize is, but I'm sure you'll feel good about it. So you ready? I'm going to put the date up on the screen, and let's see who knows what happened on this day in history. You ready? 1, 2, 3, July 20, 1969. Someone tell me who got it. I can't see. I'm trying to find the chat room. I'm not that clever. Did anyone guess it? Someone tell me. Colin, did anyone guess it? All right. Well, I can't work it out from
here. Said moon landing.
Sorry?
Landing on moon.
Landing on the moon. That's right. Whoever that was, I couldn't work it out. Give yourself a prize. July 20, 1969, Apollo 11 landed on the moon. The first men walked on the moon. The amazing thing about that, the moon landing, is that there are people out there who do not believe it happened. On a July 1970 poll, 1 year after the event, found 30% of Americans declaring Apollo 11 never actually landed on the moon. It didn't happen. And last year, on the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 landing, apparently 6% of Americans still do not believe that it actually happened. They believe it was some grand hoax. They believe that it was something produced in Area 51 in the Nevada desert, or others think it was a all fabricated on a Hollywood soundstage and directed by Stanley Kubrick. Now, I enjoy history. In fact, it was one of my favourite subjects at school. I enjoy the historical process of patiently collecting evidence and then, based on that evidence, arriving at the most reasonable conclusion. When it comes to the Apollo 11 landing on the moon, the evidence is overwhelming. Yes, we can confidently say, based on that evidence, it happened. This morning, we are celebrating the anniversary of another event, the resurrection of Jesus. And like with the Apollo 11 landing, there are still those around today who, despite the evidence, believe it didn't happen. I appreciate the perspective of E.J. Carnell when he said regarding the resurrection of Jesus, no event since the world began has been so fully proved by the concurrent testimonies of so many people. Therefore, if we entertain a view of history that excludes the resurrection of Christ, we do more than repudiate biblical history. We repudiate the very possibility of history, for other past events have less evidence in their favour. Yes, Jesus rose from the dead, And this single event has changed everything. You see, because Jesus rose from the dead, the world has gone from a place under the power of sin and death to a place where the life God intended for it, the eternal kind of life, has been let loose. That's what God's word tells us. We read, for example, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, He, God, has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In these days of living through a global pandemic, we are all too aware of the reality of death. From the Bible's perspective, death exists not only as a physical phenomenon, but as a spiritual reality that has invaded every corner of the world. It's a bit like a virus that has spread from person to person. And it shows itself not only in the breakdown of our physical bodies, but in rebellion against God, sinful behavior, broken lives, and a decaying environment. But what did we read here in God's word? Christ, our Savior, Christ Jesus, has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality. When I read these words, I picture what happened when Israel's King David confronted the Philistine giant of a man. You might recall the account. The Jews were being attacked by the Philistines. They were at war, and the Philistine army was powerful and strong. And the Philistines proposed a resolution. We'll bring out our champion, and you bring out your champion, and let them fight it out. And of whichever champion wins, they win the war. And so they brought out their champion, this giant of a man, Goliath. And Goliath taunted the Jews day in and day out. He was this huge man, this great warrior man. And the Jews were terrified. None of them would go up against him. None of them felt confident to fight this warrior man, this one who was dominating them. And they were cowering away, hiding under rocks, as it were, in caves, just hiding from him, terrified, powerless. And along comes David, the young boy. And he says, hang on a second, this is not how it is. God's on our side. I'll go against you. Trusting in God, he takes a stand against Goliath, and with his slingshot, he brings him down. Goliath is dead. And because Goliath died, the Philistines ran in fear. Yes, in the same way, that's what happened at the cross. Jesus confronted death, and death, like a great ugly giant, did its worst and poured out its full weight on him. It was as if Jesus was being hit by the full force of a cyclone. He was crushed for our iniquities. But just like how a cyclone blows itself out, so too did death exhaust its force on the spot. Death lost its power. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? C.S. Lewis said it like this: Jesus has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the king of death. Everything is different because he has done so. Yes, when Jesus burst out of the grave on that first Easter Sunday, everything changed. Jesus is alive, and the door is open to a brand new kind of life, a kind of life where death has lost its power. This is the eternal kind of life Jesus spoke of when he said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. When he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though he died. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. This is the life Paul spoke of when he wrote to the believers in Ephesus, and this is from the Message paraphrase. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. Don't you love the language? You are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Jesus. As I've been thinking about Easter, and our idea has been bubbling away inside me, it's inciting me as well. It's been bubbling away inside me. Only dead people need to be resurrected. Yes, God's desire is that the whole of humanity, the whole world, would enter into and enjoy his eternal kind of life. But the only way into that resurrection life is if we firstly accept that we are living as people under the influence of death. As the Bible puts it, dead in sin. Ravi Zacharias is really helpful at this point. He writes, Jesus does not offer to make dead people better, Jesus does not offer to make bad people good, but to make dead people alive. Friends, regardless of whether you believed in Jesus decades ago or whether you have believed in him this morning, the principle is the same. Only dead people need to be resurrected. The only way into life is through death, through seeing our sinful behavior and attitudes, our pride and arrogance, our idolatrous denying God his rightful place in our lives for what it truly is, death, that dead life. And as we fall at Jesus' feet like dead people, crying out to him for mercy, hear Jesus this morning. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Yes, friends, it's true. It really happened. It's not a hoax. Jesus is alive. And because Jesus is alive. Sin and death has lost its power. And God has made us alive with Christ. Let me pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. We worship you, our living Lord Jesus Christ, the one who took upon himself sin and death, the one who absorbed in his body, the perfect son of obedience, the one who yes, conquered sin and death once and for all, and the one who is alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father, our heavenly Father. We worship you, Jesus. And we give you our lives. And we recognize this morning that it's simply by believing in you. We have life. We thank you that you have raised us up with Christ Jesus. You have given us new life, that we share in all that you have given, all that you have done. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we are truly blown away. And we thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.